everybody. Welcome to the Mystical Mother... No. Welcome to Mystical Mother Earth. Mystical right. Mother Earth. I'm your host, Golden Hawk. I'm delighted to be here. Sound is on. My beloved co-host, Janine Kimmel, is joining me. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Thank you, Goldie. Hello, everybody. Everyone can hear us.
Yes, I'm telling you guys missed a great show yesterday.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was really good. And blessed be, Janine and me are more than happy to share again the information that you guys didn't get to hear yesterday. Because this information is so, I believe, and I'll speak for you, Janine, and correct me if I'm wrong, we both believe that this is such critical information at this point in time in history, because the information that we're sharing is the way to be connected with Mother Earth, and not just connected with Earth from... Oh, somebody's calling me. I don't know who it is. Something stupid. Anyways, not the way to be connected to Mother Earth from the standpoint of, like, you know, sitting on her, watching, you know, the birds and stuff. And I'm not saying that is a beautiful experience, but I'm talking about connecting with Mother Earth, and we're going to be talking tonight about connecting with Mother Earth from the standpoint of an ally to help and assist us to disengage from the matrix, because she is one powerful ally to do that. And in my humble opinion, she's the only ally to help us leave. I call her an ally. It is absolutely up to us. It is within each of us to make the decision that we're no longer going to be entrapped, enslaved, engulfed, you know, entranced in this matrix, and through experiences and through layers of this experience, we are literally working our way out of it. And so this show is truly dedicated to the warriors who have chosen in this lifetime to leave the matrix. And the matrix is such a such a force to be dealt with. I mean, it's relentless. I mean, just relentless. It's got its hand in everything, you know, food, religion, education, the media. I mean, literally everywhere. And then when you look at it, but so does Mother Earth. I mean, she is literally made of the same substance that we're made of. I mean, we don't get more quantumly entangled with a being than that. You know, the matrix vies for our attention. Mother Nature just invites us to ally with her. And I know you want to say something about that. Do you want to share on that, Jay?
Well, yeah, I think that the invitation word, tonight's show, because Goldie and I listened to some conversations, and they validated and verified and deepened my awareness of my connection with nature and Mother Earth, so much so that, you know, I felt that Goldie had really turned me on to these conversations of John Lash, and they were so important to me and validating and deepened my awareness of what's natural and inherent for us with Mother Nature, that I felt like this is an invitation to really know that. And I've been using that word kind of a lot lately. It's for important reasons in inviting people to, you know themselves better and transform. And I noticed in these conversations we listened to, they also were calling it an invitation. And Goldie told me she was contemplating that word this morning while she was swimming. So I love that, and that tonight we felt it was, you know, such an honor and importance to talk about this topic. And
right on.
And even though we were talking about it last night, I realized in the middle of the night, I started contemplating what Goldie and I want to talk about, and I really started to feel that it was going deeper into me, meaning you can take it in mentally, and then you start to, it starts to sink in, which is so interesting because that's a very natural, organic feeling that it sinks in and you start, you know, I could just feel it. And it took me by surprise, and I thought, isn't that interesting that we were talking about it last night on the radio, you know, that technical stuff kind of got in our way, and next thing mm-hmm. you know, we're doing it again tonight, and I feel like I took it in even deeper in the middle of the night. So,
Me too.
Yeah, I mean, so
you can't help but ask yourself.
Grounded tonight.
Well,
which
and don't
is interesting.
You feel that Mother Nature kind of maybe had a hand in
absolutely.
Me muting? Yeah, me too.
Yeah, because I do trust very much the lightheartedness and last night for you and me. You know, just in sort of, well, that show, we'll do another one tomorrow. The lightheartedness I felt was so, it was just so bubbling. It was bubbling. Mm. I was, and by no means did I feel like anything was a mistake. And it was my natural fast instinct and yours too to go, yeah, tomorrow night. And
Right on.
I look at things so differently now where you do feel this, this unfolding that you're like, wow, there's something here, you know, and there is
something here. And
I'm happy to do this tonight.
Oh, me too. I'm so excited for this. So I'm going to cover a little bit of the technical because out of respect and to help make it more cognizant what we're going to share. So mm-hmm. the first thing I want to share is that this information came from an interview with John Lash and Jamie Waters. Walters. You can find this interview, and I highly recommend listening to. It's actually a series, a 5-part series. You can find it on John Lash's website, which is GaiaSpora.org. There's a link on this episode page, and you go to his interview page, and it was posted on January 6, 2011. Mm-hmm. So by no means are me and Janine, claiming this information, quote unquote, as ours. What we're really doing here tonight is sharing how the information that John Lash and Jamie Walter shared inspired us in our personal mm-hmm. lives. Very much, yeah. And, of course, we're hoping to share that inspiration with you guys. Because, you know, Mystical Mother Earth, this radio show was initially started, Mystical Mother Earth, Living Inspired by Nature. And, you know, it's funny, it's so apropos for the topic we're doing tonight. Okay, so in a nutshell, in the Gnostic teachings, they speak of gifts that Mother Earth or the goddess Sophia, as John Lash describes her, how the goddess Sophia gifts all of humanity with these endowments. And just for the record, an endowment is something you've inherited from someone who is capable of giving it to you. So, I mean, endowments and inheritance, we know that from, you know, family or our DNA is inherited. In fact, a lot of the Matrix is also inherited. But this is what we're going to speak of tonight is Mother Nature's endowment. There are 5 endowments that fall under 1 big endowment. The big endowment that we receive from Mother Nature is called, according to the Gnostic teachings, is called Nous, N-O-U-S. And essentially, Nous is the intelligence of Mother Nature, of the God. I call her Mother Nature, Goddess Sophia. They're interchangeable. Those are just the terms that I use. All right, so mm-hmm. So humanity's endowment is the Nous. And the definition that John Lash gave was to learn and evolve to a genius level. Now, just soak that in, because the beauty of that statement is essentially we can all become geniuses, and it has nothing to do with financial status, whether there's a school located for someone to teach you. If you live on planet Earth, on the goddess Sophia, on Mother Earth, if you recognize the intelligence of life itself, it is available to each and every one of us. And that's huge. That mm-hmm. is huge, because the shifting that's going on now, you really don't have to look far to see that the academics and the PhDs and the ABCs and the EFGs, they're having a hard time handling all the shifting going on, because it doesn't fit into what the academics have taught. Our science is limited. So much of our education and standard quote of intelligence on, you know, especially in America, it has not prepared us for what the planet, the solar system, and the galaxy are actually going through right now. But Mother Earth is absolutely preparing us and through these endowments. Do you want to say something, babe?
No, I just what I was thinking as you were talking was the noose and the intelligence and the gift is, and I heard them say this, so I'm just going to repeat it because it makes so much sense. In order to really access that noose and your genius and awareness of your own intelligence and the intelligence all around you, you really need to first recognize that you've been programmed and that, you know, and that's such a key piece here, because you don't, once you recognize that, you can really resonate more with the natural rhythms and the of Earth and nature, which is where all the intelligence and, you know, it's all around us. And really for that, I know for that access, you've got to pull yourself out of the artificial timing, rhythms, you know, and so, I mean, I'm speaking for myself because I know that that really does make sense, because I do start accessing that intelligence in such a more inspired, creative way when I go against the grain, and rather than speeding up, I slow down, it is the unpopular, you know, you're doing almost everything the opposite of what the programming is telling everybody, you know, so that's,
and it's almost like literally the opposite, you know,
literally,
like,
no, literally,
you can start seeing it,
yeah,
just look for,
yeah,
this opposite.
Yeah, literally, like the slowing down and the, it's like allowing,
yes,
something
as opposed
to
multitasking,
allowing something to come into this intelligence just around you. It's not that you have to work hard for it. You actually need to go of that artificial pace. And
yeah,
it is counterintuitive.
Very good, babe.
To,
very good, yes.
Yeah, it is counterintuitive to what everyone out there is talking, you know, telling kids. And so that's one of the things I'm very aware of. And the more aware, you know, and now even after listening twice now to these conversations, it's just further validating what I knew deep inside anyway and have felt, and the information was so welcome because, you know, it just helps. It really truly helps, you know, when you're going against, you know, the like when I ask people to come even see me in the therapeutic way, I'm like, please don't rush. Please come at a time when you're not watching, you know, it just doesn't foster that natural transformation, that natural knowing. So,
right on.
And I love the noose.
Yeah, no, well, and, you know, to be honest, I do too. I love being a genius. You know, I you can feel it when you have a genius moment.
You can sense it.
Yeah, it's a bodily experience as much as it is
an
awareness in
I
the
agree.
Mind. Yeah, yeah, it's
like you're
it's
in,
full
the, in the flow. When you're
yeah.
in the flow, you just feel your genius.
You really do. You really
yeah.
do. And, you know, as we speak on this tonight, you know, it's very interesting because desire plays a part in this. And it's something else that they talked about in the series, how desire has been hijacked, you know, by the culture to desire the artificial.
Mm-hmm.
And in the talks, they talk about, and I want to share this with everybody, that, you know, I invite you all to make a list of your desires, you know, from 1, 2, 3. See which one falls to the top. See how the priority is. Because one of the key alignments of experiencing nous in your reality is your desires have to be aligned with Mother Earth's desires. And it was so interesting because for myself, when I was listening to the talk and they posted the question, well, what is your primary desire? What is your highest desire? And I mean, I didn't bat an eyelash. It was to leave the matrix and go into the fifth dimension. That is my desire. That has been, now my desire was initially to ascend, of course, you know, through time and experience and literally with the help of Mother Earth, I've recognized that, oh, this isn't a game of leaving the body. That is part of the matrix lore. Or law, I should say, because I don't think the Matrix uses the lore. It uses L-A-W. But part of Mother Nature's lore, L-O-R-E, is really about being in body, deeply in body, embodying everything, embodying the pain, embodying the joy, embodying a frequency that is so not amped up on sugar-coated bullshit. I mean, I've been watching the Voice lately on demand, and it's so amazing how you see people going to college to be nurses and architects, and you know how they're all like so quickly willing it to throw that away for the career to sing and stardom and listen, I've been there. You know, this whole radio show took me on a great journey to quote unquote fame and fortune and stardom, that ended very, you know, poorly. And I'm not talking about being angry last year. I'm talking about being scammed out of $20,000 and working with people that were deceptive and really just all con artists, mm-hmm. because the whole matrix is based on deception. Everything about that is deception. And I understand that is part of a journey for some people in this lifetime, and many feel it's their journey, and hey, go for it. But the audience I'm speaking to tonight is the audience that truly knows that you're on this journey in this lifetime to align with the organic. So I'm not going to correct that anymore tonight. We know this is about the organic. We're going to share with you some amazing endowments that I promise you, you're going to go, wow, that's already playing in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Janine will share our experiences that when we found out these endowments were playing in our lives, how it literally just is giving us the strength to continue on and persevere through this relentless battle of keeping our thoughts organic, keeping our focus in the organic, you know, getting knocked down by the matrix, but getting back up again, because Mother Nature is, like I said, she is a powerful ally. And when when we learn or when we remember to connect with her as such, boy, is she the balm to soothe an ailing warrior who has been in the war of the Matrix pretty much their entire lives. So with that, do you have anything you want to add?
No, I think it's really good. And, you know, I think the endowment struck us as exciting validation of what, and that's why sharing it is so much fun, that it just exists. It's our inheritance. And, you know, it's an exciting concept to embody because it's not coming. It's not in front of you. It is now. So
the more you take that in,
the more you really do deepen and feel the organic rhythm and the new soul around you, and you're part of it. And I really feel that your awareness and your perception of reality completely changes. You know,
it really does, right?
Yeah, yeah.
From the inside, which is really where we're. That is the journey. Because ultimately to leave the matrix, even if we die, physically our bodies die, most people are going to go towards the light, which is part of the matrix. You know, so it's not like you get out, you don't get out of jail free card through death even. It's a journey of within, and the way to truly leave the matrix is within. And of course, that's where Mother Nature gave us our gifts. I mean, you just kind of go, of course that's where she put them. You know, I mean, because the Matrix can't touch those gifts. We can be attracted to its polar opposites, but the Matrix can't touch them if we're connected to them and connected to her. And these are the kind of powerful, you know, tools that are working for me, and I'm hoping that as we, you know, share them tonight, they're gonna work for you guys too, because we could all use a few tools in our toolbox to help, you know, make it through this incredibly challenging journey, an incredibly fabulous challenging journey.
Yeah.
Okay. So. The first, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read through all five of the endowments, and then we'll take each one and share its polarities or stories or, you know, whatever comes, you know, to mind for us. But here they are just listed. Okay, so there's epinoia, which is divine imagination. And we're going to have a lot of fun with that. I mean, I got Janine with me here. Janine is, you know, as far as I'm concerned, encompasses divine imagination. I really enjoy her artwork and her books, her initiation art. I can't wait to talk about that. Okay, then there's metanoia, which is beyond thinking, the ability to change paradigms and find solutions in a different level than where the problem was created. You know, I just invite everybody. Did you know that was a gift from Mother Earth? Wow, that one struck me.
Yeah, me too.
Can't wait to share the stories on that, because I'm just becoming aware of how much she really is a part of my life right now. Has been. I mean, I'm talking even in the days when I was a total drug addict, Mother Nature was supporting me. Which is really, really good to know, because if it is this lifetime to leave the matrix, I promise you that's applicable to all of us. Okay, then there's dianoia, which is sacred dialogue, communication, and conversation between intelligent beings, and all beings are intelligent, all beings are sentient, but the dianoia that this is being spoken of is just a human dialogue, because our dialogue, we have choices, we can be conscious, we can be unconscious. Animals definitely communicate with each other, but it's like they're always communicating from instincts. They don't deviate off of instincts. And by the way, here's an interesting tidbit. Instincts are the endowment Mother Nature gives the animals.
Mm.
And I'm like, wow.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Breathe that one in for a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just so beautiful. Okay, so that was metanoia. I'm sorry, that was dianoia. Okay, then there's ennoia, E-N-N-O-I-A. And this is essentially our intention or the direction of focus of our intelligence, which is pretty much our intentions and, you know, the whole law of attraction is a manipulation of this endowment because that whole law of attraction is mental-based. So if you think bad, bad things will happen to you. In my humble opinion, that's a crock of shit. You can think badly. I think we enjoy the journey more when we see it through the larger perspective. But I have had good things happen when I'm thinking badly, and I've had bad things happen when I'm thinking, you know, happy thoughts. That, in my humble opinion, is really about the law of attraction is really about the manipulation that you start artificially focusing all of your thoughts in one direction, and then there's a whole league of misbehaviors going on that we don't speak of, and which just allows them to continue to go on. So, You'll see as the conversation goes on tonight how the Matrix really has taken these endowments and twisted them to make them, they're not endowments of nature anymore. They're now like disfigurements in the
Matrix. Yeah, and you know what word I get, Goldie, is because when you were describing annoia, they're distortions.
That's a great word. Yeah, you go.
Yeah. What you described in like the law of attraction, that whole marketing thing. They're distortions of the true endowments that, you know, don't require some kind of marketing sales or, you know.
Right. They don't even require the obsessive. When I was into the law of attraction, I was so obsessive.
Right.
That's the antithesis of annoia.
Yeah. Yeah, these are
annoia
comes
very gracefully and
in a very calm
and peaceful space.
Right, and they're true. You know, they have this because John Lesh did use this word that I completely resonate with. And it's a natural state. It's a supernatural state in a natural state because the planetary being is supernatural and it's magical. And these are magical powers that are literally natural. They're who we are. We just didn't know. You know, we get hints of it, and we, you know, it's kind of like, you know, on some level, I've experienced these things, and you know, they were my own private. Wow, what is that? But now you learn this is the natural state of us.
Yeah.
And it's a whole nother feeling. It's like the natural power of the human being because of our connection to this living planet being, Sophia, who's the embodiment of a choice she made. I mean, it's such an incredible story in itself you start to listen to it and hear it and the power of storytelling and true storytelling and of an organic nature, you can feel it. You can feel it informing you in a way that, like, is true information. It's like, you know, you start to wake up, I guess you would say, you know?
Right.
And so that's what these awarenesses of these endowments, it's just like, wow, that's really good news.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so
well,
anyway,
because
we're
a part of that good news, you know, and
that's what I mean. It's
Well, and of course, in my humble opinion, these endowments are, you know, tonight, you know, at the very least, it might come into your, you know, your intellectual awareness, but as they drop into your cells and they drop into your body, they really will become the energy of courage, the energy of perseverance, of integrity. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many of us, you know, are truly living integritous lives? You know, it's, you know, and listen, I was a drug dealer for many years. I have lied. I have stolen. I have cheated. Been there, done that. Now that I'm aligned with Mother Earth, you know, there really is a sense of my integrity literally brings me into my own planetary awareness. And mm-hmm. in that awareness and still being in a physical body, it just equates to the ability to last. You know, I can stay and play the game no matter how challenging it gets. And for me, that's huge, because I've said this on many other shows. I used to use suicide as a buffering to my own journey. That, listen, if it gets too tough, I have no ill feelings about killing myself. I'm out, because I already had a sense from dying in dreams and all that other stuff. I knew life continued on. I just knew that in this lifetime. So why play a game when it's kicking my ass? Shit, I'm out. But, you know, I really do believe that, you know, at this point, what was it they said in the movie The Wall, Jay, about I'm just too old to use suicide, or I'm too tired to use suicide as a buffer in my life.
Another incredible thing Goldie turned me on to, which was this German film called The Wall, and it's a challenge but worth it. So the woman was really dealing with something quite intense, and suicide was not an option anymore for her at her age. She kind of said in an internal dialogue, but the audience got to hear it, that, you know, suicide could have been a choice of hers when she was younger. She was stronger then. It just wasn't. It was the strength or the idea of the youth, but it wasn't her choice anymore as this adult, mature woman that she was. And Goldie and I both heard her that, you know, you could have almost could have passed by you in the film, and it was just, but I picked up on it as well. And
well, I think, you know, because we have explored openly that we looked at suicide as, you know, just an exploration. And like I said, I literally would say that
or
to
maybe,
myself, going,
yeah, or
you know,
yeah,
it's okay,
Goldie,
do you want to get out? You know,
option.
I mean, I visualized it. Yeah, it was an option. It was a valid option. And
right.
I can honestly tell you today, it's not. It's not. Because I'm not alone. I don't need that option anymore to get out and to set myself free. What's going to set me free is my alignment with Earth. That
well, and,
is
and I think, yeah, and these awarenesses of these treasures are right here, right now, even when you spoke about, you know, drug addict and selling drugs. I was thinking, you didn't know it, but you know, Mother Earth was still so connected to you. It was just your awareness that needed to drop in, which would come in time. And like for me, the magical part of this, there's like, you know, magical would almost seem like out of this realm, and it's like, no, completely the opposite. Magical is of this realm, and
exactly.
It's and a treasure seems to be something to be discovered, and it's no, it's here right now, you know, and it's
veiled.
And it's a ground. It's so grounded, and it's so real. And what would have been spoken of before as these endowments would have been something unreal, and yet why it makes such an impression on me is because I sense them as so real.
Mm-hmm.
That's no longer like it. Isn't that a nice story, Goldie? No, it feels
right.
So, it feels so real, and that's why I know you and I both were moved to share them tonight. It just felt like, this is, because I said to her, these are conversations of a lifetime that I felt were so validating to my own personal experiences, you know, for as long as I can remember. So it was great. And that's why we want to share them with you.
Yeah, right on, right on. All right,
yeah.
And the last one.
So is there a fifth one? Yeah.
Yeah, the last one is not, it's a little different. It's enthomesis,
okay.
And that is divine enthusiasm. And the way John Lash described this was, Gaia Sophia dreamed our this planet into being. It's part of the goddess dreams made manifest. And in her divine enthusiasm to be a part of this, of her, he calls it an experiment. I don't necessarily agree with that, but okay. In order to be a part of her experiment, she literally came into, she created her physical body in her dream, made manifest, which is the physical planet. So what I take from that is how much, first of all, being enthusiastic, I am naturally enthusiastic. As my body ages, as my thoughts are changing from being what I would call immature to mature, it does not seem to affect my enthusiasm when I'm excited about whatever I'm focusing on at the time. And of course, I mean, since 1992, I have been focused on consciously this, leaving the matrix. I'm just going to call it that now. Like I said, that was not what I called it back in 92, but that is what it is. You know, landing, birthing myself in the fifth dimension along with Mother Nature. And what's so amazing is, you know, I've had people say, God, you know, can I bottle your enthusiasm? You know, and it's like, you know, and I'm like, I don't try to get excited about this. I'm naturally excited about this, but okay, now, today I'm sharing with you that, wow, that excitement is actually Earth keeping me on board with this incredibly deep challenge that I have taken upon myself, because even before it was leaving the matrix, this was a challenge through ridicule, you know, speaking of other dimensions, you know, all of this, we've all been through this whole path where, you know, friends and loved ones would call you crazy, or you would even just literally hide the information from them. You wouldn't even speak of things around them. You know, I've been, you know, all of us, right? I'll speak just for myself. I've been considered a failure by the Matrix, which, you know, of course, really, hey, right on. That's a good thing. I want the Matrix to think I'm a failure. And when I say the Matrix, I'm talking about people who are programmed in the Matrix, like family members and people who think, you know, other people who think that they have an influence in my life, and, you know, they really don't. I mean, they did at one time, my father, at one time, you know, I did go back to college when I was 30, you know, played that game to get away from drugs. And, you know, and then, of course, my father looked at me and I got my associate's degree and he goes, are you going to go on? And I'm like, no. No, I've had enough of these. And the truth was I never wanted to stop learning. I just really intuitively knew that information. First of all, the associate's degree would get me good money in nannying, and that was good enough for me. But I wasn't chasing the academic thread. I'm chasing life and the wisdom that comes from understanding dimensions, understanding the language of the wind and the communication of the beings that don't, quote-unquote, speak English, but who absolutely communicate. I mean, the trees are truly, in my humble opinion, the most amazing healers on the planet. And I don't have to ingest the tree to heal. They literally wrap themselves around me energetically Now, I believe, of course, that it is part of Mother Earth's noose, but it is expressed through the trees that I know as a fact, I've heard people say they can't live without the ocean. I totally respect that. You know, some people are beach people. I cannot live without trees in my experience. It's a part of my essence. And the truth is I communicate with them. You know, that would be dianoia as well as enthymesis, because I can't even tell you how excited I get when I'm driving in the car now. If I'm having a challenging day, you know, taking care of the elderly or, you know, my boyfriend Scott or whatever, boy, knowing I'm going to the forest, you know, there's just something inside me that it calms me, it soothes me, it heals me, it protects me, it comforts me, and literally most of all, it unconditionally loves me. I mean, the forest unconditionally loves me. And, you know, I know people have had that experience with other human beings. I haven't. I have had it with the forest, and I have had it with certain animals. And as far as I'm concerned, okay, then I'm cool with that. You know, would I love to have it with human beings? Of course I would. But, you know, human beings we're all whacked from the matrix, including myself. You know, I get it. You know, this is, in my humble opinion, the toughest kind of unconditional love you're going to find is from another human being, because everybody's been through the ringer and we're all kind of figuring out what's right side up and what's upside down. And, you know, and that's not to say I haven't loved human beings. I'm talking about the unconditional love.
Yeah.
You know, and there really, really is a huge difference, because, you know, unconditional love just never, never wavers. It just never wavers. The forest has never left me feeling empty, ever, ever. I mean, so, and that was an interesting thing. I'm just going to jump back when George did the roundtable, the Rise roundtable, and Laura Lee Mystica talked about when we're in love and in that feeling, the artificial intelligence does not know how to control love, so it's almost like it shorts its circuits out.
That's
and,
good news.
Yeah, and you know, they talked about it, so, you know, from the community point of view. That's why we need community, and, you know, I'm mm-hmm. definitely up for community. But I've been involved in other communities where control becomes an issue, myself along with others, because that we have the matrix running through us and we have AI running through us. But I have literally never felt that in the forest, and I laugh because as long as I'm unconditionally loved and unconditionally loving something, AI can't touch me. And, mm-hmm. you know, once again, Mother Nature shows up as my ally, even though I don't have that quote-unquote human experience at this point in time. So, you know, that's pretty amazing because, you know, it's funny because, okay, so I would call that then the metanoia, because in my humble opinion, I like I think everybody else, was basically raised to believe, you know, we have this whole one soulmate, right? You've got one soulmate who is going to make your life perfect. They're going to love you perfectly, and they're always going to make you happy, and you're never going to be upset with them. And like sheep, we go looking for it. Well, I won't say we. I mean, I was searching for that soulmate for 10 years, steady, going through first dates after first dates after first dates, being left empty and empty and frustrated and aggravated and feeling unworthy. Wow, how, you know, I'm talking hundreds of dates I'm going on, and I didn't connect with my soulmate. That's part of the program. You know, it's like...
Yeah, it's like marketing.
That is marketing. And so
really?
That would be the marketing of, you know, keeping us out of our divine...
Yeah, distraction, looking outside, you know,
yeah.
The sales pitch, and what you used the word before, the con, you know,
yeah.
You know,
exactly.
You know what I loved, it really caught my attention, which strikes me as this new, it's like a sensing for me, and as the sensing, I'm sensing something, and then you start to feel it, and, you know, you can only approach something that's so new paradigm, and this these conversations really helped me with that. But when John Lash spoke of, yes, hearing these things is a remembering, a reconnecting, but in fact, at this time, there's a whole new intimacy level happening where at this very time, and Goldie and I talked about this last night, where, and well, I brought it up, this new intimacy interests me because, of course, I mean, in order for real, true intimacy, there's a certain letting go of the false beliefs, the ego at the level that the ego runs us around here or could run me. And being in the center now, the planet herself being in the center of what is it, Goldie, the galaxy or the universe or what is the center?
The
we're
galactic
in right now?
Center. So that
the
would
galactic
be the
center.
Right.
I really believe that for myself, what I sensed from that was there's this new intimacy possibility happening, and that is a letting go of old, you know, perceptions of what intimacy even means, you know. So, like,
exactly.
I can just feel these things as I approach these, they're pretty big, wonderful, you know, possibilities that you sense that's true, it's here. And no wonder I have felt disoriented for about the past 9 months, and as I said last night, like I was cracking open, you know, like literally
right.
cracking open. And, you know, that's not the most pleasant thing at times, where you could be laying there going, I literally was so surprised that this was the way I was feeling. I was so vulnerable and letting go of old, you know, what I thought and what you think. And it makes so much sense to me now as this new intimacy. Of course, it would be a new sense of self-intimacy, but it's a new intimacy with my surroundings. And
and
I'm getting that. I get it. But it's like nothing I've ever really known before. So, you know, I can speak about it the best I can speak about it, but I don't know how well
you're doing
it,
great.
You know.
No,
yeah.
You're doing great. You're doing great.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And
this is
yeah.
These are hard subjects to articulate. I mean,
well, they are, and that's why, but you know, trying is a really good thing because you embody them more, the more you become aware of these endowments, and they are with you on a daily basis, and you know you can be laying awake at night, and this really did happen to me last night. It's very exciting. It's like
yeah.
They're here. It's not like something you look, you know, oh, this could be yours. No, they are
exactly
right.
Which
so,
is such the play of
it's very
you know,
different.
The AI and the Matrix. It's always in the future. You know, the whole lottery
yeah.
games and
yeah, and I
you know,
I really
raffles
that.
Or whatever. Everybody
yeah.
wants it exactly.
So as much as we're trying to articulate it, and we, you know, we're doing a fine job, but you know, it's all just recent for us too. And but experientially, I'm going, yeah, that's it. Oh, that's it. Yeah, and it's a validation. And the more you hold that in your awareness, the more it becomes your reality. Rather than not, you know, so that's
yeah.
what I've experienced. And
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and, you know, I like, you know, the people to know that, you know, there are polarities on these intelligences and endowments, you know, like we were saying, like, okay, so imagination, which is epinoia. So,
yeah. Divine imagination, inspired imagination.
Okay, or
well, okay,
worry.
So this was very good, and I really got this because as I used to feel inspired creativity as a teenager and throughout my adult life, so this imagination added with desire, but the key piece for it to be true and organic and authentic and integrity is that it's with connection to Mother Earth. And
exactly.
I love what John Nash says, you really want to use your imagination connected to Earth and your desire, or someone else will, which means it becomes hijacked, so to speak. And
absolutely.
You're, you know, it's so obvious when you see that happening, you know, out there in the world, that you see this hijacked imagination, and it's very, inauthentic.
Dark.
It's very artificial. It's very, it's
controlling.
I have to say, the purpose is to create dollars, celebrity, popularity, power. It's not just genuine, inspired creativity. And you can,
yeah, no, not
you
at
can
all.
Feel the difference. You can feel it. And
yeah.
And so,
yeah.
So yeah, so imagination, use it or someone else will, and, you know, be connected to Mother Earth, which, you know, I have felt that's what I write when I tell stories, when I create initiation art. They're all connected to Earth, and that was a really wonderful validation. How, and here's the twist in that I didn't know that this was a gift, and so I hid it because I felt society would think I was weird, and I got the feeling that I, you know, was weird actually, I would hide it, and then you hear, you know, you hear. I mean, it's inspired because it comes out of you in this way that's unexplainable, and it's completely in honor with her, and you feel so wonderful when you're creating it and making it, and yet, you know, it's not necessarily always received in the corporate matrix world as because it's like, well, it's really not a moneymaker, so, you know, never mind, you know. And
exactly.
It's a very strange experience.
Hey, no. Jay, do me a favor. Briefly share the principles around the initiation art, which, by the way, you got your PhD on that, right? Or your
master's?
A master's.
Yeah, that was really interesting. You know, one of the things, if people don't know about me, a long time ago in my early 20s, I was a labor and delivery nurse, which is so interesting to have experienced so many births and help women give birth and protect women from the medical system. And so, you know, later on, you know, I find myself in processes, you know, through life, ending a marriage, just inspired by my emotions and deep feelings and love for Mother Nature, and needing, you know, something inside of me led me to create these creatures out of wood and feathers and stone, and, you know, they were validating the initiations I was going through, and I knew I was being initiated in life, and it was myself. And so I created these this little creature from a dream time that was a moth. That I created the Dancing Tree Man, which was this spirit from a tree that came to me in a dream. Those were two dream figures. So I think of, you know, I'm just dawning on me now. It's like, oh, like little mini Sophia. I made things out of my dream, you know.
Well, you made them real. You made them real.
I made them real. I really gave them form. I manifested them. And the beauty is that I've been helping people. And I didn't, here's the thing about that. It's not deliberate. It's spontaneous. You do it. You're not even quite sure what you're doing at the time. It was in looking back after 3 years that I had created these six pieces. that I realized I was self-initiating myself. So I, you know, in a moment of inspiration and noose, you know, my own personal noose genius intelligence, yeah. I named them Initiation Art, and then I submitted them to the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology, and they gave me a master's for them, which was beautiful because, you know, my mentor, Angela Sarian, so much said, these are just inspired creations, and you know, it was a wonderful experience, unexpected, unplanned, and that's like the best, you know, when you're kind of, what's so cool is at the mercy of your inspired creativity, your divine enthusiasm, you know, you're just going,
exactly.
You're going
exactly.
With it. That is being taken by that, you know, the noose, and so. Here's a beautiful thing, too, and when you listen to these conversations, you'll understand what I mean. But I made a white moth. I have a white magic gown, tears, and I realized after listening to John Lash that I was being approached by the organic light, which is comes in the form of these white, you know, these white metaphors, these white creations. And, you know, I was just literally celebrating in my own quiet way as I was listening to him going, whoa, you know, wow. And things start to just make more sense to you when in fact that's the beauty of inspired creativity. It really is it's an energy that you're not directing, so to speak. And so when you look back and you see them prophetically telling you these, they're like, you know, clues and you know, which is so much fun for me, like to answer the riddle of something or the clue or follow the clue. And it's like all these clues that I now, they now make so much sense to me, you know, about what I was doing. And
yeah.
So just recently, like last week recently, I decided to do a transformation workshop for whoever might show up. And I didn't know who would come, but I made up a couple flyers, and it was about self-transformation, moving through some, your own, how about this, moving through disbelief. And so, what was funny was I waited till hours before I was going to give it, not knowing who was showing up. This is just like, go ahead, do it. And I created this sort of self-contract for people. It was about them self-initiating themselves. And I put, here is an invitation through a doorway to self-transformation, a good evening to start. And nice. I just put it on the chairs of who may show up. And it was incredible. 8 people showed up. It was just this organic, trusting, whatever, you know, 2 people, 4 people, it was 8 people. And so much of what Goldie and I have experiencing from these conversations that we were listening to has influenced me recently, where I'm going to do another free, it's like a presentation. I'm going to help people with their creativity for wellness and healing. These are women who have experienced domestic violence and things like that. So someone asked me, would I come and do what I do? But instead of putting creativity is a doorway to healing and wellness, I literally heard, I was, as I'm making the poster and listening to John Lash, I changed it to imagination.
Nice.
And when I sent it out for like some people to look at it, they go, imagination? I thought creativity. I'm like, nope. It has to be imagination.
Nice. And you stood by it. Right on.
Right.
There you go.
Right. So,
yeah.
So it's, you know, this is like the influence that, you know, as you're doing what you do, you're literally spreading the word. You're helping. You're spreading the news. You know,
and the dianoia, right? You're doing
and
it through
dianoia.
Dianoia.
Oh, every,
yeah.
You know, if you pick all those 5, you probably
yep.
do, it's probably all the 5.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and news is the major one.
Right.
Because that's how
right.
Those are subsets of the news. So exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. So, okay. So the news and conferences, the five. And
exactly.
So, you know, Goldie, it's funny. When you go over the five of them,
mm-hmm.
the one that I would like to think about more is the second one,
Metanoia.
Which one?
Metanoia,
because it's the one I'm least familiar with, I think. You know, and if I'm not, I don't know it yet. Or
okay.
I don't know it as well as I know the other one. So that's the one
trust your
that
attraction
me.
To it and just keep – so, you know, in that attraction
– Yes.
Because, you know, it's so funny. I have that – and I want to say naturally, but I didn't realize it was her working
mm-hmm.
through me. But it is, I would say it is an aspect that comes out hands down in a warrior stance. But as we know, the warrior is no longer about the battle outside. The warrior now is the battle inside of the awareness of where we're placing our attention. You know, are we
mm-hmm.
are we compromising ourselves? I mean, like when you just said no, it has to be imagination.
Yes.
That was metanoia.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
In the sense of, right? Because I'm sure at some point in your lifetime, if someone said that, you would have went, well, okay.
Yeah, maybe like 5 months ago, 4 months ago. You know,
oh, shit, there you go. Okay.
If I hadn't heard when John Lash really emphasized the imagination as so key, I knew, I mean, I was literally making the poster, and I went, imagination. And,
yeah.
You know, look at the timing of that. That's beautiful timing.
Yeah.
And that's that natural, organic, you know, synchronicity, whatever you want to call that. But, you know, so you're right. I wouldn't have even known how important that was. And I really do think that I'm so glad it's an emphasis on imagination. Because creativity to me is a little, it's kind of almost like you can't grab it. But imagination really, for me, hones in on something. So I was happy for that. And you're right.
Yeah.
Can you just go over the metanoia definition? Because I just want to hear it again.
Ability to change paradigms
and
to create solutions in a different state of mind than the problem was created.
Mm. See, for me, that is so where I want to, because I think that's one of my stuck places. You know.
Okay.
And,
no. Okay.
Yeah.
So set your annoia, right? This is. Because this is what's showing up. Like, see, what's so funny, see, for me, I need to kind of fall more into my epinoia. And doesn't it make sense that, you know, my weakness is your strength is my weakness, you know what I mean? Or vice versa. Because, you know, it's so funny, too, in the last year,
mm-hmm.
I mentioned this on a show I did with Patricia, how I was... about 4 months ago, or you know me with time. Okay, it wasn't today.
Yeah.
Sometime, not today. I have no concept of time. I was driving to Jeannie's house to take care of her, and this overwhelming emotion became part of my experience that I've only had that emotion when I've moved to a new place. And I have basically lived with my dad and my mom, and, you know, I mean, I'm still in the house that I grew up in, you know, and I've had other times where I've moved out, but really not as often as I'd like to. I've always tried to move out of Connecticut, and Connecticut kept pulling me back. But anyways, when I got this feeling that I lived in a new space, it struck me so profoundly that it's because of all the metanoia that was in my life. I mean, I was no longer nannying, at least not, you know, as full-time. you know, I'm now taking care of the elderly, and at this point, I'm not taking care of the kids at all. I don't know if I was at that point, but it was still the majority of my time was working with the elderly. I was gluten-free at that point. I was swimming 5 days a week at that point. And it's like each one of these activities was a metanoia to get there. Because,
yeah, I get it.
And well, and you really, I mean, you know the behind the scenes, you know, in order to go swimming, you know, in a public pool, I had to get over what I look like in a bathing suit. And I can tell you that my entire life, I was not comfortable wearing shorts in public, let alone a bathing suit. And I was a skinny kid, you know, I mean, I was really quite thin for like the first 30 years of my life. So it wasn't even about the weight. It was just body consciousness. I didn't feel good about my body.
Right.
But it's so amazing because what struck me so profoundly is when I was driving that day, I realized I had made so much inner change in my life at that point that it actually manifested as the emotion I get when I move into a new place.
It's a great
and yet
example.
I had not moved into a new place. I mean, I had, but not,
and yet
it wasn't a physical
move. Right, and that's such a great example. That is
well,
so, and that's so validating.
And it's her.
Right.
Giving, this is, because I seem to really get, swimming absolutely hands down, I am transported to dimensions and galaxies. I'm all over the cosmos when I'm swimming. And it's funny, I'm even in pain now. I'm doing it so much, I have to actually work it out that my body needs some rest. But the metanoia is really, it is a feeling that we talked about. You know when she's in your presence. I just knew it was from the change. But when I heard the John Lash series, you know, once again, I'm like, wow, she's birthing inside of me. And you know, all of us know the George Kavassalis work. Remember, this whole incension and this whole going into the fifth dimension is about turning ourselves inside out. That's what's happening. So, you know, as we're going through these changes and all these dianoia, metanoia, epinoia, enoia, endomesis, this is all about aligning with her, which is the journey of leaving the matrix because, you know, her contract's up. She no longer has to provide the space for the artificial intelligence, the matrix, the Jehovah and the God, you know, to use her space to do this. And in my humble opinion, I'm with George. This is all divine. Even the matrix is divine because once you're out of it, you know, you can kind of look at it and go, I was talking to somebody recently and I said, you know, it's clearly an immense challenger, you know, I'm a competitive person by nature, and like I know if I play pool, if I'm playing pool against somebody who's just a great shot, you know, where they're going to run 3, 4, 5 balls at a time, I can match that run, and you know even every now and then beat them. Not always, not by any stretch, but I have done it, and I can do it. And I find that when I shoot against somebody who's not such a good shot, my shot gets worse. I don't run balls when people are, you know, my competitor isn't running the ball. You know, I can truly appreciate, and it's because I'm connected to my warrior, a fierce competitor. Fierce, because when you win against a fierce competitor, there really is an accomplishment. And the Matrix is a fierce competitor. But, you know, I'm really on board with, and I wouldn't have it any other way. And of course, see, I can say that with so much more confidence now because I also have a fierce ally. You know, when it's just me against a big fierce competitor, you know, you kind of look and go, I don't have the tools. How that, you know, because the Matrix really is designed to make us look at it and go, I can't fight you.
I see in what you just explained to me. The fierce ally.
Okay.
When someone, me, anyone recognizes that that's metanoia. You've shifted. You have a whole different. You're now seeing things completely in a different perspective. And
yes.
Problem solving.
Yes.
So that is such a cool.
Oh, brilliant, babe. Very good.
Right, I love news. it's so true though, but because that's what fit in is so key. Because even before we, you know, when you were going over them and I'm in the metanoia, I went, you know, to myself, I'm thinking, metanoia requires a confidence in and that whole fierce ally, having that fierce ally. Not in the future, but now, and
absolutely.
Even before, it gives you a whole metanoia perspective that might not have existed before, or if it did, it came in like little blinks, you know, but it's like, woof, and it's there, and it really is like, it's like you in the car with getting that feeling, you know, feel like I've moved, you know, so it's really good,
Yeah, right
so
on, that was a great pickup for you.
Thanks. Anyone who's, kind of gets in a place of like, you know, just remember that fierce ally is with you and you're like, okay.
Well, and the fierce ally is with you if you are focusing your annoia and your endometesis on the organic mother. I mean, because I can remember, essentially, I found the forest again as an adult after my mother died. I mean, my mother died and believe me, there was anything but... I literally tell people I felt like a kitten in the middle of the parkway during rush hour. You know, I couldn't have been more vulnerable. I had no concept of anything fierce. I mean, I was scared. I was just downright petrified. And two things happened to me organically that she showed up. One, intuitively I said, I need to quit drinking. I need to quit smoking, snorting coke. And I need to quit having sex. I was still smoking pot. That was the only thing I was doing. But those other three, the drinking, the coke, and the sex, I let go of them and I said, I need to know when this pain goes away naturally because if I try to mask it, I knew intuitively that it just wasn't going to work for me. I mean, I literally faced it as sober as I could. I mean, I smoked the pot, but coke and drinking were major, you know, they're major ways to distract ourselves from feeling pain. And
right.
I was like, no. That was what I said to myself. I go, you've got to feel this pain. It's the only way you're going to know when it's gone. So
yeah.
I didn't distract myself from it. And the only place I felt comfortable in the entire planet was in a forest. I can't
you
make
felt
this,
nurtured,
this stuff
you
up.
You felt nurtured or safe?
I felt safe. I felt, and I swear I didn't make the connection of the trees, Mother Earth.
No,
it's
just how you felt. Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, I was like, another thing I used to describe myself, I was a wind-up doll. And I just kept walking into walls. I mean, my mother was the hub of the wheel that kept me, my brother, my father, and myself together. And so my entire unit, my family unit, we all literally fell apart after she died. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody knew how to deal with each other. We were not comforting each other. We could barely, if at all, comfort ourselves. And the only thing, you know, so I became sober, relatively speaking, and I became part of the forest. And, of course, to this day, now I go, wow, thanks, Ma, meaning my biological mother.
Thanks, double Ma. Double your mother
exactly.
and then
Well,
and then
she
mother,
because and then going to the planetary mother.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, I and I'll be honest with you. Like I said, I was not a genius, and other than following promptings, because and here's what I said when it happened, and I remember this distinctly. I said, when my mom died, two things happened in my body. My mental shut down because there was nothing I could do to bring her back. And I was looking for a solution. And, of course, but here's the truth of it. There is a solution to that. And the truth is she came to me in my dreams, and I was allowed to hug her again. And that I didn't think of that at the time. I just thought, she's not here in my life, and I'll never be able to touch her again, and because I'm a tactile person. So I said my mental shut down and my emotions were off the hook. I was such an, see, I was such a conduit for Earth endowments.
Sure.
I literally, the Matrix overloaded. The Matrix never had a handle on me. And it's so funny because I know a lot of people, when they go into devastation of any kind, the Matrix comes in and just truly fucks with them because of there's such vulnerability there. For whatever the reason, Mother Nature literally, in my humble opinion, literally surrounded me and went, you don't touch her. She's
not. That's so beautiful. That's exactly what happened. And that is the intelligence, the intuitiveness, the genius of her, of your connection to her. Just it's extraordinary, but it's extraordinary. But when we get to really understand how ordinary that is, because that is and I've been experiencing that off and on now, where I used to, it's almost like I'm wanting to reword everything, because I used to get impressed, but in a genuine way, of how extraordinary the ordinary was. But now I'm just thinking, no, it's just because the ordinary is extraordinary.
Well, exactly.
And
that's what we're uncovering. Exactly.
Right, and the magical isn't, it's every day. I know that, and yet now I know it differently, because it's not like the special moment, it's all the time. And that's, okay, that's metanoia, so I'm experiencing more metanoia here. just so everybody knows. See, I asked, and here it is. You're witnessing instant metanoia here. So, that is... what?
You said instant metanoia, and I said just add essence.
So it's true that the old paradigm, even for me, would be that the extraordinary is as if that's like an occasional thing. No, not at all. That's what the old paradigm for me would have felt and thought. But now I'm getting the magical is all the time. It's here. It's in fact, that poem I wrote.
Do you have it?
In The Magic Gown. No, The Magic Gown. Lily, one of my characters, little girl Lily, who's pretty much me, she this beautiful swan appears in her kitchen out of a boiling pot of hot soup, because that's very metaphorical. And for so many reasons, now even more than before. But I think it's the magic, the magic hidden, so long forbidden, is now here. Another door has opened. And that's exactly right.
Wow.
But
nice.
Yeah, and it's so true.
Nice.
Because the endowment, the thinking that the magic is like this occasional, the it's the secret,
the miracle,
that nobody knows.
Quote unquote, the miracle.
It's here, and
right.
That is that's such a shift in perspective and reality. And then what that does too is it completely fosters, you know, the divine enthusiasm, the inspired imagination, all this just, you know, you can feel the melding together as just a way of life, you know?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, totally. It just, and you know, because what I really liked, you know, about, well, first of all, I didn't even realize what I just shared with you, you know, about my mother dying, that is literally being rediscovered by myself as we speak. You know,
I believe that.
Yeah, remember when I told you we were going to write, I was going to write down some stories to go with each endowment?
Mm-hmm.
That was not a story I wrote down. It, you know, it's just her coming through in my experience. But as a powerful experience, because I think what's so important to me is, because a key factor in all of this is truly recognizing that it is inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore it's not separate.
Mm-hmm.
Because as much as we quote unquote live on Mother Earth, the truth is if we follow George's work, our soul comes through the planet into our incarnation here. So we are inside her. She is inside us. It's such a paradox, and it's partially where I deviate, so to speak, from John Lash's work. Because his belief is that we are birthed from the goddess Sophia, and that's not my belief. And by no means do I feel that John Lash's work and how he's interpreted the Nag Hammadi codices or whatever they're called, the books, is not incredibly valuable. That's why we're doing the show. I mean, we both feel that way. There's just certain conclusions that John Nash comes to that I disagree with. But, you know, hello, people, that is the beautiful ability of discernment, because more than ever, there's not many people I agree from, you know, A to Z on what they say. There's oftentimes, you know, I'm picking things that I'm like, oh, yeah, that feels right, and that, it's like, no, that's just not my journey, so or not my truth, and that works for me.
I think that's all about the feeling aspect, because it's something you feel as opposed, you know, and I think, you know, and I really, that new intimacy is part of that ability to feel what's truthful and organic and natural for yourself, for myself.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's self-directed. And
And it's not intellectual. It's
not a rationalization. No.
It's not logical. It is sensual, intuitive, and from within. And it's so funny, as soon as I said that, my hand, because I know a lot of people feel things in their heart, and I respect that. I feel them in my stomach. I feel it in my gut. That's just how I feel stuff. That's how I feel truth or not truth or a lie or a deception. I feel it in my belly. But now I'll be honest with you. When I was driving and having that experience of that change had come in my life and I could feel it, I felt that through my heart. Wow. Mm. That's interesting. And I do believe there's two different things going on there.
Oh, without a doubt. How about that vulnerability cracked open? Your heart is just like, I felt a lot of
vulnerability. I definitely feel in the heart. Yeah, I don't feel vulnerable in my belly. I feel vulnerable in my heart. That's true too.
Yeah.
That is. See, but at the moment, I'm still. Well, I should. Because see, it's so interesting. And when you listen to the series, which I can't recommend this highly enough. There really is an understanding of how this is all. You can't chase this. This is, you know, we've all of us. If we're leaving the Matrix, I can almost guarantee all of us have been through the dynamic part where we start chasing information where, you know, we're looking for, what do they call that? Not a solution. A formula. We're looking for the formula to, you know, to be enlightened or to ascend. And
yeah, which
you
is
know
like
that,
an agenda. It's like an agenda.
Yeah,
you know?
It's definitely like an agenda. And you know, in my humble opinion, you got to go through that because it's an interesting thing to recognize because what it is it's the work of the mental body. Because the formulas, the meditations, the building of you know, dimensional shields around yourself, that's all about not feeling. Because
yes, exactly.
Earth's biggest noose, or let me put this, I'll put it differently. Noose is experienced first as a feeling, then as an inspired thought. I don't believe you can get to the inspired thought without first going through the feeling. You can have thoughts, but they won't be necessarily inspired by her. Because it's an interesting thing. My essence in not just in this lifetime, my essence as not, you know, beyond Golden Hawk, you know, the essence of my soul, I know is communication. I know that because I do. I know that. And I'm realizing even as we're speaking tonight that I'm understanding the communication of Earth from a nonverbal point of view.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's so interesting because it always brings me to, you know, I mean, my boyfriend Scott, who is not verbal at all. I mean, I won't say not verbal at all. I mean, he's not a savant. He might think he is, though. but our relationship is not based on verbal communication. I get my verbal communication from my friends.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
As I learn that I don't have a verbal communication per se with Earth, or Mother Earth, yet I feel her unconditional love. It's just undeniable to me. But I'm learning about the nonverbal communication, which I believe is interspecies, interdimensional. It's just part of something that I'm very that would be my endomesis. I'm very attracted to communication, and you know it's interesting because Scott is very much into communication, but his manifest is technological communication. You know, he can write script and he can, you know, diagnose a computer issue, where I can diagnose what's going on with me and Dakini. You know, and you know, I didn't need a doctor to know, you know, I mean, blessed be, George said the word candida, and I'll be honest with you, something inside me went ding, 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 you've got your answer, there it is. You know,
yeah.
You've got candida, it is time now to do something about it. And, you know, I have no, it's just like when I quit smoking cigarettes. yes, that was a subtle hint. when it's time, you do it, and there's no regrets. You know, I mean, I at this point, you know, you couldn't pay me to put a cigarette in my mouth. I wouldn't even dream of it. Just to the same thing that, you know, when I see, you know, I'm making Jeannie all sorts of lunch on breads and pastas and fish sticks and, you know, and, you know, you would think, oh, you know, well, you're around a lot of the food you used to eat, and it's like, no, I don't have cravings for it at all, because the arthritic pain in my fingers gone. You know, because you know, I can turn my head on my neck, like, you know, make it go round 180 degrees. Is that or 360? Not
would
of course
be more like 180.
Back.
Yeah.
Okay. But I tell you, I can remember, you know, literally last year when I would do that, even if I was in the pool, it would, you know, crunch and crackle, and it would hurt. Like, it was so, I was so not lubricated. And what I'm noticing most with the diet changes, my joints are lubricated and not that arthritic pain anymore. Which, you know, like, I love it because the diagnosis came from me, you know, I didn't give my power away and go to a doctor, which, by the way, doctors aren't going to tell you about candida. You know, they're going to treat your symptoms, but if you
right.
don't get rid of the candida, then all
with
the medicines you're taking. Yeah, you're going to get, you know, the truth is doctors make you sick. That's just my humble opinion. Western
yes.
medicine doctors. And I wouldn't say all of them, but I would say a good portion of them. You know, you put more people die in hospitals than anywhere else. I'll leave that stat to you. You do what you wish with it.
Well, the encouraging thing about, you know, the conversations we listened to, why we wanted to bring them onto the radio, you sharing this, you know, unfolding of your process, you know, from your mom and my unfolding, and then you just see the unpredictable but transformative conditions happening with our bodies, our ability to feel, you know, my confidence, my understanding of, and you know, the willingness to be really uncomfortable, you know, not, you know, kind of comically, I go, really, did you have a choice, Janine? Well, maybe I did, maybe I didn't, you know, but all I know is, you know, I was uncomfortable, and
yeah.
it's been sustained, and it was a new, I think for myself, it was a new level of intimacy, which struck, that's why that struck me so much about this new intimacy is available now, and, you know, it's not packaged in a way that it's like, and it's so comfortable, because,
exactly.
you know, you really do need to break open, and I think, you know, in retrospect, you go, and I'm so happy I did.
Well, exactly. There
because
is payoff and reward from this. Significant
right.
payoff
right.
and reward.
The meta, the metanoia
right.
is amazing.
You're so cute.
Does anyone notice
the
that
drug
I really
the
am
new,
into metanoia?
The new age drug. Wait, what did you say?
Does anyone notice I'm into metanoia tonight? No, so anyway.
I'll have some metanoia with my tea, please. Thank you.
But
yeah, no, right on, right on.
Yeah, yeah, and I also right on. one of the you know wonderful validations is when things are occurring spontaneously, like that's
mm-hmm.
organic. You know,
agreed.
Like, that's how my initiation art happened, and, you know, I look at that, and I trust that, and that's been validated, you know, over and over again in, with people who have experienced these things, too, and so the spontaneous is just amazes me, but it's, you know, it's wonderful, and it validates this process.
I agree.
So much.
And
like
you got to trust to allow the spontaneous to happen. Because if you look at it, spontaneity is the polar opposite of control.
Absolutely. And it really, and in the magical world, which is the ordinary, by the you know, the spontaneous,
yeah, exactly.
it's a natural occurrence. And so those are validations, and I think the more you're aware of them, that divine enthusiasm comes in because it's exciting and it validates this process. And, you know, you're being supported, just like when Goldie went into the woods and she, you know, there was the big mom was really, really helping her. And that's happening now too, you know, with, you know, even as I'm talking, I can feel the support, you know, of her.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah.
It's in the stories I'm sharing tonight. It's like, it's so funny because, you know, I wrote the stories down that I was going to share, and I haven't shared any of the ones I wrote down.
Right, and that's perfect because, you know, you can
no,
be prepared and that's
I
great, but
it.
It's the inspired dialogue and conversation that really always, I always trust with us.
Always. Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so fun to experience it. You know, I mean, it's so fun to witness it in play. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that really is another key factor, play.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you want to see the polar opposite of these endowments. Look at anybody who works hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
they're not playful.
Right, because, I mean, and it's based in, you know, a lot of times anyway, it's based in fear. And, I mean, I know there's a lot of people that work in their passions. That's beautiful. I mean,
yeah.
work and passion,
yeah.
you know, because I'll be honest with you, it is not my passion to be with the elderly. But what I am really seeing now, though, is how much it is, yeah, let's see if I can pick... It's metanoia. In
okay.
other words, because in 28 years of working with the children, I must have had, I think, max 3 arguments with any, you know, kid at any point. I loved working. It was fantastic. You know, I was the great nanny because they could go out all the time. I didn't care. I loved being with the kids. And now I'm working 7 days a week, so it's not that I'm not working, but what I'm seeing is how it's reshaping other aspects of my inner belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, definitely my patience is now up front and center. My compassion is up front and in center. My ability to... disconnect and not be quantumly entangled. I'm finding everything we do at some point, whether it's in the same lifetime or another lifetime, you're going to have to experience the polar opposite of whatever that is. And, you know, I really do get it that, I mean, 28 years working with kids, I can't, for 28 years I got paid to play. You know, and I was a great nanny. I mean, I worked my ass off, but I didn't work my ass off. I played my ass off. I mean, it was,
right.
you know, it was just such an amazing, amazing experience. And, you know, now it's definitely work, but I see that as, especially the fact that Mother Nature came into me as I was driving to Genie's, you know, I'm really getting that whatever's being whatever in the pressure cooker right now, which is part of the qualities I just shared, I need those to be transformed, transcended, integrated, however you want to term it, because when the grand arena breaks through and has, when we go into phase two, which I know is going to happen, and we are definitely closer rather than farther from that happening. I mean, we really are close to phase two of, you know, the dollar collapsing and all the AI technology that's going to be, you know, bombarding us. It's going to change our lives. It's going to change the entire planet's way of distributing capital and how we express ourselves and work and play and all of that. It's going to go through ginormous changes. I'm going to need those qualities of compassion and patience. And for what? I have no idea. You know, I just know to trust. You know, and of course, because remember back in the day when I couldn't get a job? I couldn't find a job
yeah.
with the babies?
Yes.
How do I know I'm not supposed to be with kids? Because life wouldn't let me get a job.
I do remember that.
You know, right? I mean, my yeah. stats had never been better. You know, I'm 25 years of, you know, I got, you know, impeccable references. They all love me. I love them. Plenty of references. I'm great with infants, blah, 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 blah. And I couldn't land a job. And I'm telling you, I must have interviewed for 25 to 50 of them. You know, and finally, what Mother Earth always tells you. So surrender. And then it struck me one day. I was like, hey, Scott, you know, your mom is really struggling over there at her house by herself. You know, why don't mm-hmm. maybe I should take care of her? You know, hello.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly
and,
right.
And of course, and it's because it's an ability to be open to something new. You know,
yeah, that's a big thing. And
it is.
You know,
it's very challenging.
It shed light on when you said, you know, I kept trying and I couldn't land a job and there was no reason I couldn't. And, you know, I go
exactly.
through that too, where, you know, you're offering yourself and you're, you know, it's like, really? And so, you know, I went through that too, where you change it. This isn't working. Let that go. You know, that was part of
right. Look in a different space. That's the metanoia. Look
yeah,
differently
the
for the solution. Right, right.
Right, and be open to what shows up in another way. And
exactly.
And I love what you said, too, because this is very important about the ability to not commingle and to have cleaner boundaries and not take on, you know, like
yeah.
you're holding
yeah.
your space. You're holding your space more. Now with
right on
yes and I'll tell you that the patient quality and the holding space quality is key right now, you know.
Okay, why do you think that I and if you don't know, I'm just curious, how does that play? How do you think that's, what's the
well,
divinity
I think
of that?
It's an I think it's an attribute of Mother Earth. I mean, you know,
oh.
I think she really knows how to hold the space. She's been holding the space like no other. She's got patience, unbelievable patience, and compassion, and you know, I mean, you talk about, you know, her ability. She's the role model of all, you know. So
yeah,
I think
yeah.
you become more like her. You know, you're really kind of showing your attributes because they're her attributes because they're your attributes. You know, like
right on,
like,
right on, exactly.
Right. So that's the
reflection. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're embodying it. See, that's you're embodying that, which is incredible. Which is completely organic. It has nothing to do with the Matrix. And it's like that woman said. I'm forgetting her name right now. Lee, maybe something. Lee, Laura Lee.
Oh, Laura Lee Mystica? Okay.
Yeah. It's unshakable in terms of when you have these attributes, they're just unshakable in terms
oh,
of
absolutely.
The Matrix.
Absolutely.
And,
yes.
Right. So that's, to me, that's the real warrior traits. They're just like, you're like, or the magician. You know, it's, you just are, you're holding a space that's like, you know, you're in, it's kind of impenetrable in a way.
It doesn't come easy.
This is we're learning it. We're learning it. We're learning it. And I've seen myself currently, you know, even with my ex-husband, like not hitting the tennis ball back, just holding the space,
right.
holding the
right.
space. And it's changing. It's changing the environment for me. I can't speak for him, but it's changing the environment for me. And
okay,
I'm changing
right
because of it. And it's a total kind of
so it's like a commitment. So holding the space is almost like a commitment
mm-hmm.
to the frequency of Mother Nature.
Yeah, it is.
Or at least
her.
How we're doing it.
It is her. Because you're just
right.
You're just this holding this creative stuff, which has always fascinated me when I heard about holding the space and creative tension, I was like, wow. But you get...
Speak on that. I know somebody out there who's listening that is very curious about holding the space, and I don't know if she even knows about creative tension. So,
right.
Speak
okay,
on
so,
that.
Yeah, so years ago, you know, I heard this cross-cultural anthropologist, Angela Sarian, who, by the way, just recently passed.
Yeah.
And,
R.I.P.,
you know,
babe.
But, say yeah. hi to her out there.
Hi, Angelus.
hi, Angelus. When she, you know, she had the qualities of Mother Earth. She emulated them, and I recognized it as an incredible role model. And she talked about holding the space and creative tension, which is really truly when we're changing, when we're going, you know, even in creative process, it's a natural, there's a natural discomfort that comes up, that if you don't run away from it, if you can hold it, you will move through it. But if you back off, you're not going anywhere. You're going to stay in your same place. And I always thought, you know, in terms of internal conflict resolution, which if you look outside in the world and how much conflict is going on and how much conflict is not being resolved, it's because people are reacting. They're not holding the space and creative tension. So when you do that internally, you literally are changing. You're moving through your process. It's a creative process internally. And, you know, it's one of the things that fascinates me about the outer world, where I would like to be put in the position of holding the space and creative tension and seeing if you could shift, which I think that's happening as we speak. You know,
You've been living that truth.
Yes, and I like it. I can't even explain it, but it's kind of a masterful, you know, once you get the hang of what you're talking about or the sensory of it, you can work with this. And I will tell you, though, just so you know, in the last 9 months, I've been surprised how high the creative tension has been, where I was like, what? You know, and it was really, it was a rough go, but being the little sailboat that I am, I just kept going.
The little sailboat, you're so cute. Yes, my little sailboat. Well, or the little dragonfly, or the white crow. I mean,
right.
Yeah, no, I love it. I never heard you say sailboat. That's so cute.
Well, because I sometimes see the sailboat as like, you know, through seas of all kinds. You know, there's the buoyancy and the, you know, you keep going, and you're maybe sometimes the pace is slower, and you know, but you're moving along, and it's more organic than an engine.
But, yeah, no, right on, exactly.
I do enjoy. It's one of the places that for a long time now I'm interested in, and of course I experience it myself, and so I'll just put it out there that I'm always willing to talk to anyone if they want to reach out about creative tension and how to hold the space or how to practice holding the space, because I think that that is so key for this
integration.
Integration,
yes.
Transformation.
Yes.
And my new favorite word, meta. Noia.
Noia, you're so cute.
Because
we'll write these down.
Because for metanoia to occur, you have to be able to hold the space.
That's
when the shift will occur, but not if you back off of the tension.
Right.
It just won't. So, you know,
it
how
needs
comfortable
the tension. The tension is feeding the integration, which is quantified as metanoia. I mean.
Yeah, and now that we're talking, I remember there was a moment where, you know, the discomfort was really high for me.
Okay.
It was emotional, just that whole feeling of like, I'm not okay, it's not going to be okay. And
okay.
I realized, this is what came to me, in this very high level of uncertainty, this was a sacred place.
Nice.
I knew, and I got it. I was like, Janine, this is the place to be. Because this is the place so many of us avoid. It was a high level of uncertainty that I was experiencing, and it was like, it's a sacred place. It's a turning point. It's the place you've got, you know, can you hold it? And it was, and you know, and when you can really feel that, you get those feelings like Goldie got, like, I'm in a new place.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So,
No, that's you shared that beautifully. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was
you're
yeah, no, that was beautiful. You know, and it's very interesting because, you know, Dianoia.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. After last year, you know, when, because last year I also went through just crazy, crazy,
yes,
emotional challenges. You know, just. I was in a pressure cooker. I couldn't get out. I eventually surrendered and said, I'm here. I mean, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, it lasted, you know, 7, 8, 9 months. It was
exactly.
excruciating. You know, and it was taking me from the things I loved, which were you, the radio show, our connection. Of course, I still continued to go to Mother Earth, but it was funny because I would feel okay inside the forest, and then I'd come out, and the anger would be there again. You know, it's like,
yeah.
I couldn't really, and I'll be honest with you, even today, because I don't have anger anymore, I seem to have literally just transcended, because what's so funny is you were a trigger for me, but you were really not the anger. The anger was my entire life
mm-hmm.
of being flipped into the artificial when there really was and is a presence inside me that, you know, invites me to be organic.
Yeah.
You know, and because there was definitely a lot of anger at myself and it was just the cauldron. But what, you know, was truly so interesting is I do believe that we go through several of those in a lifetime, and consciously, you know, I've been saying since I've aired the radio show, which was in 2006, you know, in order to connect with Mother Earth, just physically put yourself with her. And
mm-hmm.
I highly recommend Mother Earth in any way, shape, or form, from beaches to mountains to plains, you know, deserts. I don't care where you go. But the key is it should be a space that doesn't have electrical wires around. It shouldn't have any sort of man-inducted technology. It should be where, you know, a space that you can, if you can, to be surrounded by the organic. Because, yeah, I mean, what's taught me, I know so much more about my communicating and my communion with the time spent in nature, which my mother died in 2000. I mean, I'm 14 years. I mean, I've actually gone an entire cycle of, like, you know, kindergarten to to high school graduation with
mm-hmm.
Earth, you know, in the school of life. And not life where of hard knocks, no. Life of divine intelligence and nous and endowments that, you know, as we enter this time that is going to get more and more compressed, it's so important to have the frequency, to be embodied by it. And you know, your body naturally resonates. It entrains. Because that's what I remember. If you take an infant, it doesn't even have to be your baby. If you take an infant and hold them on your chest, you know, and
mm-hmm.
you kind of rock, and inevitably the two of you will breathe together. It's entrainment. It's it's a natural thing that our bodies are built to do. So if you put your body on Mother Nature without any technology that's any kind of EMF field, and I get it that you can't get rid of the chemtrails, but I'll be honest with you, on some level, I think with the trees seem to take a lot of that stuff. I'm at the bottom of their trunks, you know, they're catching that stuff up in the leaves. And I'm not saying I'm not getting chemtrail stuff. I am. But just for me, the trees tend to feel, I feel protected by them. But
mm-hmm.
if you put yourself in nature, you'll entrain to that frequency. And, you know, as we've been sharing this entire show, that there are gifts that you mm-hmm. can't buy from a seminar. You're not going to get it from reading a book. Here's the thing about nous. Nous is taught one way. It's experiential.
Yeah.
That's how it's taught.
And, yes.
You know, so go out and experience nature as the goal and point. Not I'm going into nature to do something else. Nope. Just go into nature because
be
for
in
nature's
nature,
sake.
Yeah.
Just be in nature, exactly.
Yeah.
Be nature,
yeah.
Don't do nature.
Yeah. Yeah, don't, and you know, that's the beauty. You don't really have to do anything. It's not about that. You know,
not at
being
all.
In nature.
It will be done unto you. Nature will be done unto you. Have a ceremony. Marry yourself to nature. Because, you know, I'll tell you, John Lash spoke of a few things in this series.
Courting?
It was very interesting. Pardon?
The courting?
The
courting, C-O-R-D-I-N-G?
Oh, yes, exactly. Well, he said that trees respond to, what was the word he used?
Ritual.
Ritual. Was it ritual?
Right.
No, it wasn't ritual. But it was close to ritual.
Okay.
Sentiments or like they respond to because he was talking about if you wrap a cord around a tree,
a colorful cord, right?
Okay, go ahead. Because you remember?
No, because I heard it this morning actually. Again, you know,
okay.
I was listening and he talked about the cording and it's like you're. You know, and he also talked about your disposition, you know, and, you know, so basically you're there with the disposition to connect with the tree.
Okay.
And the tree knows it. And the tree knows it.
The tree knows it.
And you will feel results from that connection. You don't have to even take it any further. Just, you know, he just said, and ritual, which I completely agree because that's what my initiation art is, embodies this intention.
There you go.
And the tree knows it.
Well, listen, so I want to tell everybody. So I have on several forests, the Hawk Rock Forest, Devil's Den, in several spaces where, you know, I set up my little camp and hang out with the trees, I've done blood rituals, which are essentially where I take my Mensa blood, turn it into like a soup, you know, basically take a tampon, like a tea bag, and put it with water and pour the water around certain trees that I call are my trees. They're trees that I connect with because I sit there often, and they're tuning fork trees. When I heard him say that, because remember how I always used to say that I heard from a teaching many, many years ago, some guy who was a Rama and, you know, he was enlightened and disappearing on stage. And he was talking about all these things, the metaphors between technology and enlightenment. But one thing he said that caught my eye and caught my ear was, if you ever get stuck multidimensionally, if you've made friends with a tree, they'll help you out.
I love that.
When I heard what John Lash said about, you know, that they feel, they love that, you know, if you're wrapping a gorgeous, a colorful cord around them, I'm like, I didn't wrap cords. I literally shared my DNA. That was the intention because I want the DNA of the tree to literally know my DNA and connect with me.
Uh-huh.
But then I remembered the other day when I went to the forest and, you know, was cutting vines off all the trees.
Oh, yeah, you freed the tree. Yeah.
I freed the trees because the trees were helping me become free. And it was like, holy, again, I was just, and where did that idea, in fact, both ideas, the blood ceremony and the cutting off of the cords, was both inspired to me when I was in the forest.
That's that inspired creativity, inspired, you know, imagination. That's that. You act on it, and it's imagination, desire, and connection with nature. It's like a powerful like triad.
Yeah.
He even called it that. It, you know, it was like Imagination, desire,
okay,
and connection. Yeah, it's a really powerful triad. And, yeah, and I, as a little kid, I had a tree I used to just love to sit in, and I felt completely at home there. You know, so,
nice.
Yeah, I just remember that.
Yeah, because what we're coming into in this phase, too, is not just about AI kicking it up another notch. It's also about these divine endowments, like that's kicking it up another notch too. So, you know, these, all the clairs. All right, we're going to go over, so don't worry about
okay.
it. And I'll post on my Facebook page when we end, or I'll post it in the chat
okay.
so you guys can know if you want to catch the archive. But what was I saying? The show ended, and that was it. I dropped off.
I forget.
Wait, that was funny.
Yeah,
wow.
It's like, because I was just like listening to you, and it wasn't about the tree. No, I know. At this time, the endowments are so important.
Right, because everything's intensifying.
Yeah, as the AI. Yeah, and I agree. That's why, you know, talk about, this was 2011, these conversations. You find them, you know, so amazingly, like, intuitive. You give them to me, I'm thinking these are conversations of a lifetime for me. And now we're sharing them. And, of course, timing is everything. They are really
Absolutely.
Important. The endowments
Very
important. Are... The endowments, they're now, it's just to become aware of them more and more, you know, is
well,
that annoying?
Well, their importance, exactly, their importance in phase two
right.
will reflect, because phase two is not just about AI kicking it up. It's you know, all of our, quote, unquote, the mysteries of who we are, the clairs, the clairvoyance, clairescient, clairsentient, all of those are going to be coming online, much, much more intense, which,
uh-huh.
of course, will bring in a whole new set of circumstances and it'll bring in other issues. But, see, the beauty is what I love about the endowments that Mother Nature shares with us, they'll upgrade appropriately, organically, and naturally.
Mm-hmm.
They have taken us through the end mm-hmm. of the cycle of phase one. They will take us through the cycle of phase two, and they will absolutely take us into phase three, which is supernova, and we're birthed into the fifth dimension. I just love finding something that you don't have to switch it over. You know, it's like
right,
because the
right.
beauty of the organic is the organic will meet the artificial and trump it at its own level in with grace and beauty and
yes.
and sacredness.
Yes.
Truly.
Well said, and that's right.
Thank you.
I mean it's been that way, but the awareness of it and more, and I love that, like I said, that new intimacy, I believe that's part of this, is that we're becoming more and more intimate with this awareness.
Yes.
And it's perfect timing.
Yes. It is perfect timing, right? Because
yeah.
Cause it certainly fits for our world now, doesn't it? So this was fantastic, Janine. Just,
yes,
just
I loved
exquisite.
It.
Exquisite. Yeah, me too. I mean, boy,
it was the
we know how to rock
dialogue.
Them. Yeah, yeah. I mean, truly, I just thoroughly enjoyed tonight. Thoroughly. I feel so good right now. My belly's fine. I mean, I'm feeling fantastic. Just fantastic.
Yeah, me
Thank
too.
You.
Thank
you.
Oh yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. I loved that we honored the endowments.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. Well
so
thanks everybody
share
for
with
listening.
People, yeah, no, share with people. Where can they, if they want a session with you, or how do they get a
yeah.
hold of you?
Okay, so I'm on Facebook, Janine Leighton Kimmel, and you can always go on Goldie's page and just find me and her friends. I have a website, jlkimmel.com, and on that is a contact, which would just go to, you know, an email. So either through Facebook or my website would be the best way to contact me.
Perfect.
I think.
Perfect.
Yeah, thank you.
I think you're correct. All right, baby. I love you. Tonight
I love
was fantastic.
You too. Thank you,
Goldie. And you're so welcome. And just so you know, there's more shows in our future. I can feel that.
I know.
There's more Dianoia for us. We ain't done yet, girlfriend.
Okay, good. I know that too.
Wonderful. All right.
Okay.
Awesome. I love you.
Night,
thank
everybody.
You, everybody, for listening and for having the patience through my glitch yesterday. But really, from what I know, from what we talked about last night to how we expressed it tonight, it really is in divine order that we did the show tonight. So enjoy.
Definitely.
Yeah. And we will we'll speak to everybody soon. So everybody take care. Much love here. And get your butts out in nature. I'm telling you, go out there and spend some time with her.
All right. All right. Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Good night.
Love you all. Gotta go.
Bye.
I'm so glad we had
time together.
To have a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just get started, and before you know it, come to the time we have.